Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
Well, it's exciting to have Jeff and Deanne Duvall with us this morning, and they are one of the first missionaries that Christian Bible Church took on. It was very early in our beginning. It might have been that first year, even. Actually, it was. I know it was, because I remember having you over in our tiny little rented apartment that we had with all of the kids and coming over for a quick bite to eat that ended up being all afternoon and into the evening. So, and we knew then that there was a kindred spirit there. So it's been a joy, and many of you are very familiar with him. We took a team down to Ecuador a few years back and spent time with both Jeff and Deanne down there in their ministry. And so it's exciting to have them here with us, and looking forward to hearing an update from not just a missionary, but a dear friend today. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 1. We're going to get there in just a couple of minutes, but I want to share with you some updates in the ministry. And in a minute, my wife will join me and share with that as well. I just happened to wake up in this beautiful morning without much of a voice. Either that or I swallowed a frog in the night. And so we're going to try and get this through this together. But I want to take an opportunity and thank your pastor and his wife for their ministry in our lives during that time. I was actually jealous of him because his office, he had a separate little trailer outside. And I was like, that is the coolest thing, that where he would study and things. And that to me, I still haven't had one, but one day my goal is to be like Pastor Ed and have a trailer. Thank you very much. But I do want to thank you as a couple and as a church for your choice and your decision, your integrity in saying, I need to take some time for God to continue to work through me. It's not enough that we've just come through very difficult times in COVID as pastors in what does the Lord have for us in caring for the body during this time, but then you mount on top of it as he shared the other personal issues and things that are going on, and we stand with you in that. Roger, we stand in prayer for you during this time as well. One of the gentlemen in the church, Jonathan, a faithful attender, we don't have a membership yet because we're still a church in formation, but Jonathan wrote me this last week because he is taking over responsibility in our absence for 3 months in the church there and doing a fine job. I actually had two reasons to come. I had my son's ordination that we wanted to be a part of in the middle of May, but then I had a conference in July, and so I spoke to the men in the church and said, I can take two different trips of 2 weeks, or I can take 3 months and cover both of those at once. What's your preference? And they said, get out of here. Take the time, enjoy the family. And it truly has been a blessing. But Jonathan wrote this week, and he said, or last week, and he said, I'm learning so much. And so when that kind of a question comes up, I'm starting to dig in. What are you learning? I want to know what you are learning. And he is preaching for us in Ecuador. It'll be 11 o'clock our time here, but 10 o'clock there in Ecuador. He says, I've been thinking of the responsibility that you have in the ministry, of all the problems of the brothers, all of the counseling that you have to give in a precise moment with such wisdom. I'm probably going to argue that part because the wisdom doesn't come from me. It's not fly by the seat of your pants, but it's fly by the word of God, which is the answer. But there are many times when I sit down and we as pastors sit down and we do not have the answer, but we know where to get that answer. The things are not easy, but God is the one that helps and makes us able. To prepare every message, it is a great responsibility. And then to stand in front of the pulpit and to share the word of God, in the end, it is him that changes hearts, is it not? The word of God is the tool that we use, but it's the Holy Spirit that works through that changes hearts. And we're in prayer for you. And I'd like to take just a moment and pray for you together as a family during this time and as a church. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege that we do have to gather together. We thank you so much for your word that teaches us and guides us. Lord, though we don't like it, we thank you for the difficulties and the trials that do come in because we know that you are a God, that you are in control and nothing happens by chance. I do pray for Pastor, for his wife, for his family during this time, that you would minister to them specifically, that you would wrap your arms of love and care around them, that together as the church, they may be strengthened in the ministry that you have called them to. Lord, we love them. We know they are your servants. They are your ministers. They impact our hearts and the hearts of many literally around the world. God, I ask that you would strengthen them and sustain them in this time. Give them the rest and the encouragement that they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Grief never goes away. Grief changes faces. And by grace, God gives us the opportunity to manage and to handle those things, and we are praying that for you. It's not much of a help, but we do have something for you that we would like to give to you. It is a coffee from Ecuador that may help you during this time. Now, it is not the kind of coffee that you normally enjoy that grabs that stalactite in the back of your throat and slaps it, but it's very smooth. I'm going to ask Deanne to come and share with me at this time a little update, but just a little bit of love coming from Ecuador. And we've even had a couple of occasions, instead of drinking coffee from the United States, we'll pull one of those bags out and just a reminder of home, as Pastor said, the place where God has called us to, and we love it. You'll see on the screen up here our name, and that is the way it is on Facebook. It's not that I messed up grammatically, but it is there. Duval family is together, and so if you want to find some other updates, please take a look there, and that'll help you. But as I mentioned, we came for Jordan's ordination, but we've had a great time to be together as a family. Next picture's of our family.
Okay, this is my part. I get to give you a little update on everybody. On the right-hand side, you'll see Jordan and his wife and little Taylor. We are grandparents. So little Taylor is 2.5 years old, and she is every bit of 2.5.
I don't mind being a grandparent, but being married to a grandmother, that's a little disconcerting.
Right next to me in the back is Amanda. Jordan is now 28 years old. Amanda's 26. Amanda's living in Florida and dating a young man. So that's a little hard on him because very soon there might be some other news coming along the way.
They're buying a new car?
Well, we'll let him think that. On the other side of my husband is firstborn Bethany. She's 29 years old, turning 30 this year, which blows my mind. And last time we were with you, she was living in Peru, serving in short term. She's had some health difficulties and prayerfully had to return to the United States. She's living in upstate New York, serving in the same church where her brother is, and waiting on what God has for her next. And the tall guy on the left-hand side is the baby of the family. That's Lucas. He's 24 years old, and he just accepted a teaching position in a Christian school in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he's also dating a young lady.
And that's okay with me, no problem. But next picture, we did have the privilege of being with Jordan for his ordination to hear him share his faith. Pastor Tom Stiles, who works defending many of our freedoms here in New York State and sharing the Word of God, he was my pastor when I became a youth pastor in 1993. And he was there as a part of the council. And that stinker, he asked him the same question that he asked me back in 1993.
That was the year Jordan was born.
And Jordan did not get it right either, but that's okay. I should have prepared him better for that. But I gave him in the next picture a sword as a reminder that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And on that sword is written my life verse, my name, his life verse, and his name, and the initials of both of his grandfathers who served in ministry as well as their life verse. He sent me this picture, and underneath it, he inscribed Isaac's revenge. So that's the kind of relationship that we have, but we do have a great opportunity of enjoying and calling and discussing different elements in ministry together.
The next picture is the church in which we are now working, which is the church that your church visited when you were there. We have come in now as kind of a church rescue, church replant. And this is La Conexión Peninsular. This was on the first anniversary of our time with them right before COVID hit. Literally the next week, the world shut down. And it has been a great blessing to watch this church go from 17 people and to what you see in this picture. Of course, COVID has changed a lot of that. But there has been a great, great work of God in these people's lives.
The next picture is the first church that we planted in Cumbaya. Back in the year 2010. It has grown now to over 200 people. It is going as a completely national church this year. without American pastor help and missionary help. And so we're just praising the Lord for what he has done all along the way.
While we're here, ministry continues. For the month of May, my husband was preaching online in Ecuador and preaching in churches here. And I'm continuing my ladies' ministry also online. We have gone to total like Zoom-type ministry. And we have a lady in Spain. We have, of course, our core group in Ecuador, and I'm here. So we have three continents represented in our ladies' Bible study right at the moment, which is kind of fun. However, our internet in Ecuador isn't always reliable. Those that do Zoom meetings know that they're a challenge, for sure. Then you throw in unreliable internet, and then you throw in different language. It's a bear at times. So those that would like to make that a matter of prayer request for me, Thursdays, 5 o'clock. Thank you.
You'll see in the next picture one of the opportunities she had. She's having her Bible study outside on her telephone, trying to connect in with the ladies. But the next one is in a home when we were in New Jersey. She continues that on Thursday evening, so remember to pray for her at that time. The next picture is of 500,000 Venezuelans that have come in as refugees into Ecuador in the last couple of years. They have fled Venezuela, and they are in the streets of Ecuador, and it has created some great opportunities in the time of great need. Deanne's going to share a little bit about what happens when we meet them, literally as we drive down the street on every single corner.
We've done several things, but what we always try to have in our car is we try to have a bottle of water, a can of tuna, some crackers, and a Gospel of John. So we always are ready to stop when we see them. And then we invite them to church.
I have a question. How many of you men have ever gone to the grocery store and purchased something that your wife did not put on the list? Yep. All right. There's more ladies that are raising their hands for the men than the men that are willing to raise their hands.
Good honesty.
When's the last time you bought 1,290 cans of tuna?
Try storing 1,290 cans of tuna. Well, that is what he did because he did find a sale. Thank you. And those are being used right now by some of our national partners. But what we do then is we invite them to church. And then when they come to church, they get to hear the gospel again. And then we invite them to stay with us after and have a meal.
And you'll see that in the next picture.
And this was a great opportunity. This particular day, there were 16 that were there that day. And so with the wonderful way that in Ecuador you can get lunch for $3.50, you can do something like that. So right below where our church is presently meeting is a restaurant. And so we can go down there and just have lunch really quickly with them. And while they're eating, maybe the first hot meal in a very long time, then we can share the gospel with them. And now they've gotten it three times. And more importantly, they know that somebody is showing that personal care of Jesus Christ into their life. It's not just throwing something at them really quickly, but really investing in their life. Another thing our church has done is where we have gone to the street with food in our car and scooped it out and handed it to them on the street, again, where they're getting a hot meal, but while they're eating, see, you have the time to share God's word with them.
Next, you're going to be able to see what took place during the time of COVID. We live in a very poor community. Most of our people are what are called day workers, where they earn enough for that day just to have enough food. It may be $5, $6 for their entire family after working for 8, 10, 12 hours so that they can go home and feed their family. And so during COVID, when everything was shut down, it was a complete shutdown. We had 20 weeks where we were not able to drive on the weekends. We were only able to drive one day per week. Wednesday was our day. And so at 5 a.m., we had curfews from 2 p.m. until 5 a.m. And driving your car only one day a week, it shut down church for those 20 weeks. On that Wednesday, when we could drive, Jonathan, the man I mentioned previously that's serving with us, as well as one other man and I, would gather together with another pastor. We would go to the market. We would buy hundreds of pounds of rice, of beans, bananas that were complete in the racimo, in the complete stalk. And those are only about $3 altogether, so that's a little bit difference in price from what you have here. Tuna, sometimes chicken and other things. And we would give up to 120 bags some weeks to people during that time. It was over 1,290 bags of food, of weekly supplies that were distributed out. One of the blessings to us was it wasn't coming from the American missionaries. It was a project from the church. Money would come in, and we would take that one hand, passing it from one side over to the other. And what would happen is Tuesday afternoon, our people would write us and say, I have five in my neighborhood that are desperate and they need food. In each bag would be the Gospel of John and the responsibility for the people in our church as they gave those bags to go to them and to share the gospel and to be that salt and light in that community right where they are. And so we would take sometimes 8 or 10 bags and then one extra in case someone else heard about it and came by to receive that. And it was just a huge blessing to see how God provided and God blessed. Seeing people say, Pastor, thank you for helping us to be a blessing to others in great time of need. We thank God's people for what they provided for them during this time.
In the next picture, you see another way that God worked during that time. Like you said, we have so many day workers. This is Jose. This is Jonathan's father. He's one of those day workers. And for a long time, he set up business outside of a supermarket kind of idea, but that was all shut down during COVID. So what we were able to do is help 3 different families with micro businesses. And this was the cart that he is using in this picture. We provided the cart so that they could get around town to the things that were open or to individuals that were shopping. And so he, on his cart, he has empanadas that he's made at home and coffee he's made at home. So he can go where people are shopping and try to sell these things for the day. And like we said, hopefully make at least $5 to get food for the day.
In the next picture, you're going to see a special helper that came down at Christmas time with her parents to help us distribute food.
Yes. Taylor came down because their church did what they called Operation Ecuador. And so they wanted to come and to be a blessing to families in need. And so our church family wrote out some special, really needy families, and we even got into a handicapped group home, which was really exciting for us, and some different needs like that, and over 120 families were reached during Christmas with things like the big bag of animal crackers that are behind Taylor.
30-pound bag of animal crackers.
We have lived in Ecuador for 13 years, and he has always wanted to buy a 30-pound bag of animal
crackers.
Why not? They would go stale for sure. So finally, we got to do it because, you see, it's a Christmas tradition in Ecuador to give children bags of candy and cookies. So this was finally our opportunity to go big.
One of the special ministries that we have in this next picture is a motorcycle ministry. We look for least reached people groups. And you're not going to necessarily see a group of guys that like to ride on Sunday come into your church. But during the week, we gather together with them. We purchase the motorcycle specifically for the purpose of reaching an upper-class community when we lived in Cumbaya. And so we meet with them. We don't have to tell them that I'm a pastor or a missionary. I don't invite them to church in the beginning, but they very quickly understand one by one and start asking questions why we're different, what's happening, and what's going on. The next picture, you're going to see one of the rides in the afternoon, and I'm going to ask you if you'd write down the names of these gentlemen. On the left-hand side is Eduardo, and Eduardo needs Jesus as his Savior. In the middle there, standing, is Luis, and Luis lost 2 of his family members during the time of COVID. Luis claims to be a Christian, but yet at this point, he is very detoured, and he is struggling with his faith. How could a good God do things like this? And then you'll see Eduardo, or Javier, who is next to me. He is a Christian brother and has been a blessing for the 2 of us together to stand strong in the faith and to be a testimony and a witness to the others that are around us. The next picture shows some of the outcome of that ministry. The day that I bought the motorcycle, I was stopped by the National Police 3 times. Not for any infractions, but just for a paper check. And that led into a ministry of meeting with the police on the street. The first police officer we met with, he began to tell a story because when I was stopped 3 times, I was irritated. If you were riding your motorcycle and you were stopped 3 times within a half an hour, you'd be irritated as well.
So true.
For paper check. That's all it was. Check your vest, make sure there's no guns or drugs, and you're on your way. 3rd time within a half an hour, I was irritated. But I remembered 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I think the Holy Spirit was working on my heart, that says we are to pray for all of those that are in authority, that we live our life at peace, because God's desire is that everyone comes to know Jesus Christ. And so what can I pray for you for? And he began a story of about 45 minutes that his daughter had cancer. She was 9 years old. They had lost most of their finances through medications and through treatments. Their marriage was a mess, and he was bawling like a baby. And at that moment, I realized that the police officers, the military, first responders, while they may come all dressed up and all protected, they are just real human beings with real human brokenness that need a God that fixes and promises to make things right. And so we shared the love of Jesus Christ with them, prayed with them, and that allowed us to make other contacts all the way up through higher brass to invite a team of Christian SWAT guys to come over from the States to teach and to train with our national police. And that takes place every September since 2014, with the exception of last year. That gives us an opportunity of sharing the gospel in the next picture all around the country. This is a group of anti-narcotics police that we were invited in, and we were able to give 45 Bibles to them. It's a Bible that is specifically designed. We are just ordering another 2,000 Bibles because we have gone through 2,500 of these Bibles, giving them in group meetings like this, not just chucking them out on the street, but personally, we are praying for you. This book has changed my life. Our number's in the front. Let us know how we can help you and serve you. This particular group called later that week and said, those that were not on duty, we need another box of 48 if you can help us out with that. So my wife and I had the privilege of going literally to an abandoned airstrip where a drug plane from the cartel in Mexico had just been dropped off with 400 kilos of cocaine, and to deliver Bibles to those that were there guarding and taking care of the cleanup afterwards.
I so wanted to get a picture.
We chose not to, but just to pass on that one at that moment. But God is working through his word. We just ordered these Bibles, and my goal is to give out 50,000 Bibles before the Lord changes our direction. That's about 2,500 per year. And so I was telling my father-in-law about that, and he says, Jeff, if you give out 50,000 Bibles at the cost, that's going to be more than $300,000. How are you going to do that? And I said, well, Dad, if you just give it up now, it's actually $325,000. Then I'd never have to ask ever again. But God's word does not return void. The front of this Bible is 8 pages that speak about the ministry, gives our doctrine, as well as Romans chapter 13. As I'm speaking and sharing with them here, they are servants of God for good. Romans 13 states that clearly. And if they are servants of God, you've got to know his code book, because you are responsible, just like you are for your human rights code. You are responsible for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords whom you serve. And that opens up a lot of doors of opportunity. You'll see opportunities that we have with many of the different police in the next picture, of many of the different police groups that we have, the Group of Special Operations, the National Police, the Motorized Police, which just happened to be one of the fun ones that I enjoy meeting up with. My daughter teases us and says, we're the only people she knows that actually stop cops along the street. And we do, and God has continued to open up that door. That leads into a request then in the next picture to meet with firefighters and to provide a ministry of teaching and training. This was a debriefing meeting that we had together with a Christian firefighter that came down from the States and giving a time of debriefing of how do we manage the things and the stresses in life. And at the end of that week of training, with 8 different fire companies that we had given them the talk to, the charla, the seminar to, we invited them over to our house in the next picture.
Yeah, we invited them over to have more one-on-one time to get involved in their lives, to show we weren't just there for the training, but again, to be personally invested in them, to build a relationship with them, to share the gospel of Christ. And during this time, we had such a good time to show them a little bit of our culture, because you see, they're very interested in our culture. So much of we thought in missions, we had to shed who we are and become as much like Ecuadorians as possible. But the things that make us different are the things that make them curious. For instance, they think Americans eat hamburgers every day.
Funny, not Sunday night, we have egg sandwiches.
That's right. So what do we serve them? We serve them American hamburgers, and they love it. So we invited them. In the next picture, there's 2 ladies that came in that particular group. The lady right next to me is the fire inspector, and she had a wonderful time and really opened up during this particular evening. But the lady with the tongs is especially dear to our hearts because, you see, she really didn't want to come that night. Her husband was the fire chief, and she said, I don't like these events. It's all guys talking work, and it's just not my thing. But, you see, we cared about her. Showed an interest into her. And she goes, this is different than any other event I've been to. Of course it was. This has to do with Jesus Christ. So pray for her and pray for more open doors with the firefighters.
I'm going to go ask you to go back one slide, if you would, please. And just behind us there on the right-hand side is a little casita that we have. Pastor, you've been to visit us. Mm. It's time for you and Jen both to come down.
There you go.
It's one block off of the ocean. It's private. It only costs one night of hamburgers with us. And so if it's not during this sabbatical, the next time, church, send them down. We'd love to have them. They are truly a blessing to us. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 8. I want to take an opportunity and just look into the Word of God. But think with me, if you would, please, of a time when people may have been afraid to go out. Think with me of a time when people may have been afraid to make contact with someone else for fear that the next person they made contact could lead to their death. Perhaps a time when we were hiding behind masks. It's not really hard to remember a time like that, is it? And most of you probably are thinking about the last year and a half. But I want to suggest to you that I don't think what we have been through just recently is much different, though it was not a pandemic. The emotions, the attitudes, and the actions, I think, are very similar to what we see take place here in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 1. You see, the world had changed, and your world and my world has changed. And how are we going to go about changing the world and the world that had changed? You see, Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 had just recently been crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, as he said. Can you imagine the ladies going to the tomb that day, not sure what they were going to find in Matthew chapter 28, and an angel had rolled away the stone and sitting there said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. He is not here." I can imagine Peter, who had denied Christ three times in the judgment hall, saying, "I do not know this man," to the point of swearing and saying, "I'm not a part of this," to now be confronted with the ones who had killed my Savior. How do I respond to them in public? I'm sure some were very shameful that the next person that I meet could lead to my death because of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so they may have hid in the background and been afraid or ashamed of being associated with him. But they changed their world. It's not the church here at this point. It is the believers that were followers of Jesus Christ, because we find that coming with the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, he says, upon the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, "I'm going to build my church." It was still something that was coming in the future. He tells them in Acts chapter 1 here that, "I want you to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit so that you are prepared to go out and to do what I have called you to do." And here we find a group of followers of Jesus Christ that changed their world. And I want us to look at for just a few minutes this morning as to what was their motivation. What was their motivation, and what is our motivation in the day and age that we live in to change our world? I want to give you the entire outline to begin with, because if you stop listening before I'm done speaking, I want you to have it. I want you to share it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to take it and to give to everyone that you can the motivation that the early believers had to change their world in a world that had been changed. As our world has now been changed, was found in their relationship with Jesus Christ. They had a resurrected Christ that gave them hope, and they had all of the resources that had been given to them in order to accomplish that job, and they went about their responsibility to accomplish that. Read with me, if you would, please, here in Acts chapter 1. It says in verse 1, "In the first book, O Theophilus," we don't know much about Theophilus, but we know the first book is referring back to the book of Luke, because Luke is the author of these two books. And he says, "In this first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles." What's the rest of the verse say? "To the apostles whom he had," what? "Chosen." The relationship with him, being chosen by him to go and to bring forth fruit. My desire this morning is not to speak of the doctrine of election, because I think here is a little bit different. It is, you have been saved, you have been chosen to go to represent me and to do the work that I have called you to do. It is not optional. You read through the Gospels, all four of them, and here in the book of Acts, you will find that word "chosen to go and to do."
I don't know about you, but because I have been chosen, I have no other need for any motivation to go and to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am. I don't know if we have that song in English. Maybe, brother, you could tell us or not, but I see here on your cross, above the cross, a crown of thorns. The crosses in 95% of the churches in Ecuador still have Jesus hanging on the cross, but he is no longer there. He suffered once and for all and paid the debt of sin for you and for me and for the entire world. There is a song that says that through a crown of thorns, while wearing that, he became king forever and ever, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have a relationship with him. I don't need any other motivation to go and to do. He chose us to go and to do that. If you bear the name of Jesus Christ, you are a Christian, we have enough motivation to go and to do. There is more. I'm not going to stop the message right here, but I don't need any more motivation than that, do we? He's chosen us to go and to do that. He chose the apostles, the disciples, and in Matthew chapter 28, he says, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do what? To observe everything, to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. And we must do that right where we are, and we'll find out where it begins. It begins right here at home, right where we live, because we have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. We got one of you participating. Amen? Amen? That's a whole lot better. What exciting thing that is, to be chosen by him. When we come back to the States, and it's every couple of years usually for a few months that we have opportunity to stay for a little bit of time and to report and to share with you, we always go through our lockbox to make sure that everything that we have is in order. It's our will. It's our end-of-life decisions and all of the finances that need to be taken care of, and we update those as are needed. But this time, just yesterday, I went through the box, and I pulled out an envelope from my mom that says important papers. And I actually took a picture of it, and I'm going to read what it says here for you. You see, I was adopted when I was 5 months of age. Here's what the letter says from the St. Louis Children's Home, the regular Baptist Children's Home, back in 1967. For those of you who are figuring out the math, I'm 54 years old. You don't need to do any more math. I'll tell you what it is. But I want you to read or to see here what it says, that I was chosen by them as their child. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Duvall, that's my parents, we have good news for you that we have selected a baby boy born on August 29th, 1966. He weighs 7 pounds, 2 ounces at birth. I was a keeper. He is a really attractive baby. It's here. I'll show it to you later. He's a really attractive baby. I had forgotten that part. I need to remember that from now on. He is a real attractive baby. And well-developed with light sandy brown, well, that's gone, never mind, fair complexion and dark eyes, which have both blue and brown tints. His features are nice. And his face and body are beginning to show signs of plumpness. He now smiles and is drooling and goes to anyone. Well, that's me at 54 years old of age, too. What do you know? You see, there's an interesting thing, and that's word for word. I just read that to you because I had forgotten that I took that picture just yesterday. You see, in Michigan at that time, if you adopted a baby, you could never divorce your child. You could never separate from them because of that relationship and that decision to choose them as your own. You could have divorced your own children. You got fed up with them or they were eating too much and you didn't want to feed them anymore. You could give them back over to the state, but because I was chosen, I could never be released. You see, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus came. God says that the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the what? The adoption of sons. What a huge blessing. He has chosen us, the relationship he desired to have with us, to go and to be motivated to go and to bring forth fruit. John chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I what? I know them. And I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish. What a huge blessing that is. Because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, our motivation, because he desired for us to go and to do. What a blessing that is. And I want to do it. because he's chosen us. Are you going to do it? You don't need any other motivation. The second thing I want us to look at here from the Word of God, but before that, I want to take an opportunity and just show you something here. Ministry is about relationship as well. In the next picture, we're going to see some people that we've built relationships with because we had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not pictured in here is a family that I will introduce to you a little bit later, Jorvis in Alaska, Venezuelan family that came to Ecuador. We met them on the street as we were feeding them out of the back of our truck. We got to know them. They came to church, they learned, and they grew. They came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, were baptized, were married, and now have moved on to another part of Ecuador since that time. But Jorvis in Alaska, because of the relationship that we had with them, they invited Albanus and Paula, the couple standing right next to my wife. They had met Albanus and Paula en route from Venezuela to Ecuador. And when they got here to Ecuador, Albanus and Paula needed a place to live. And so they invited them to live in their home, which was no bigger than your nursery back there. There was another gentleman they met on the street that was living with them, and they had people coming in and out. They cooked on a wood stove or wood with a piece of grate over top of it. That's where they cooked for everyone, outside of their home. Mattresses on the floor, curtains dividing up the different sections where people would sleep. But because they found relationship with Jesus Christ, they had relationships with other people and brought them to Jesus. Albanus and Paula. At Christmas time this last year, as Taylor came to help us with the outreach ministry, our granddaughter, Albanus and Paula had seen Genesis and Humberto, had seen their children, their little girls running around in the yard, but they didn't see mom and dad. And they went and knocked on their door and said, from the church, we have something we would love to give to you, and we want to invite you to come and be a part of our fellowship. They came to church and they brought another Venezuelan family that needed Jesus and needed help and love. Why? It began with the relationship with Jesus Christ, did it not? And one by one, connecting with people, our church is called La Conexión, the connection on the peninsula. Because we desire not to connect just with people, but to connect them with Jesus Christ through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to draw them to Himself. I believe by relationship, that's how we make a difference in the community in which we are. Right where we live is through the connections and the relationships that we have that starts with the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's my motivation to go and to do, to change the world and the world that has changed where we live. The second point on the screen that you're going to see there is not only do we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but we have a resurrected Savior. Amen? He rose from the grave. We don't just celebrate it once per year. We celebrate it every day of our lives. We need to remember that Jesus rose from the dead. There are days when I wake up and I don't have a smile on my face. There are days that I wake up that I don't want to face the day where I am, but I've got to go back and remember that He rose from the dead to give me the hope of eternity forever with Him. No promise of great joy and peace and contentment in the circumstances that are taking place in my life today. But in Him, I find that joy, that contentment, and that peace as to what's happening and taking place today. But one day, He's here to fix it. One day, He returns to call us home. He's a God of relationship that wants us to be with Him. God sent His Son where? To earth. To die for the people that were created in His image. So that one day, through relationship, we could be with Him forever. What a blessing that is. That while in the circumstances of that moment, of that day, while it may be difficult and I do not understand all of it, even as Luis, I shared with you, is going through that right now in his life, I know the end of the story. I know the end of the book. And I can make it through today because I know that He reigns. He is on the throne forever and ever and ever. Jesus rose from the grave. It says here in verse 3, He presented Himself, speaking of Jesus, alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. It is undeniable that Jesus rose from the grave. In fact, the government officials paid their soldiers to not speak of this and to tell a lie because they didn't want people to believe that He had risen from the grave as He had said. But Jesus rose from the grave. And because we have that hope of future of tomorrow, I want to go and I want to present and share that message all around the world. Amen? That's what God's called us to do because of the resurrection. want you to take to the next picture and take a look at what's taken place even during the last year and a half when the whole world was shut down and we had 20 weeks of not being together. The Lord allowed us to baptize 9 people, have 2 weddings and 2 births that took place in the church. Now, by the way, our baptisms are probably a little different than what yours may be because we just go down to the ocean after church. It's about 8 blocks from the church, and so we can go down and we can have a party celebrating new life. But our custom is that the people gather together in church and those that are sharing their testimonies to be baptized come up front and they share it from the pulpit. Jorvis, the gentleman that's standing there that's not in the other picture, but they're standing to the right of me, Jorvis in Alaska. Jorvis is so shy. He had shared his testimony with me in private in front of 5 others that wanted to be baptized, and he just stood there at the pulpit when it was his turn to give his testimony. I said, Jorvis, are you going to give your testimony today? And he goes, I don't think he shook his head, he just shook his whole body. So I put my arm around him and I shared what he had shared with me that day. I told you there were 5 that gave their testimony to be baptized. But if you look, there's 6 in that picture plus me. The service was coming close to an end. I had everything planned. I had my prayer started in my head because it doesn't come as easy in Spanish as it does in English. And so I had already thought through what I was going to say and how it was going to be presented. And all of a sudden I said, let's pray. And from the back, lady raised her hand and said, Pastor. You see, raising a hand just means you're going to recognize me because I'm going to speak anyhow. She said, Pastor, Sophie wants to get saved. Sophie had just heard 5 testimonies of people whose lives had been changed by Jesus Christ, and she wanted to trust Christ as her Savior. It was not written in my notes, and so I didn't know, do I take her quietly off to the side afterwards, or do I just deal with it with everybody sitting there, about 50 people that day? And I said, Sophie, is that your decision? Yes, it is. Do you know that you are a sinner? Yes. Do you know you're on your way to hell without Jesus? Yes. Would you like to trust him as your Savior and pass from death to life today, according to John chapter 5 and verse 24? And she says, absolutely. Let me give you a little bit of the backstory. We'd been praying for Sophie for more than 2 years. When we moved to our new town, we decided we wanted to eat in every restaurant in that town. Deanna already shared that it was only about $3.50, so it wasn't a whole lot. And usually we'd share a meal to find out if it was good or not before we'd order any more. We sat down at one restaurant, and this restaurant had one of my favorite dishes that we saw sitting on a charcoal fire out front. It's in a earthen clay pot, and it is a peanut butter fish stew. Oh, is it good. You have to come down to Ecuador. I see some of you shivering, just like Jorvis did, and said, no way. You've got to taste it. It is excellent. And they had it, and I sat down at the restaurant. We're getting ready to order, and the owner of the restaurant, Inelda, came and sat down. I was in shorts and a t-shirt. We were just casual that day, and Inelda says, are you a pastor? Didn't know it showed. I said, yes, I am. She says, you need to pray for my husband, Carlos. He needs Jesus. We went back to that restaurant because Carlos made some of the best cazuela, and I never got it because on the days we'd go, he'd never have it. Carlos and Nelda came to church, and Carlos sat down in church, and he didn't really want to be there, kind of like you, sir. No, I'm just kidding. Carlos would sit there with his head down. Wouldn't look up, wouldn't open the Bible. Anytime his cell phone would go off or anytime he could find something to do on his cell phone, he'd be out that door. But little by little, the Word of God began chipping away at his heart, and Carlos came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jeremy trusted Christ as well as they were in discipleship together, learning and growing as a family. Sophie had been living with them for those 2 years and had been hearing the Word of God and heard those testimonies, and that day Sophie wanted to trust Christ as her Savior. We took them down to the ocean that day, and Sophie, she's a little thing about this tall. We measure people this way in Ecuador. This is how you measure animals. So you don't say my son is growing up because that would mean he's an animal. But you say he's this tall now. Sophie was a little thing. She was baptized on the right-hand side. She was baptized by the waves 3 times before I laid a hand on her. She just went under because the waves just kept going over, but I still put her down because that's what we do. She chose to go and walk in newness of life. Next picture is another baptism that we had soon after that. 3 others, Albanus and Paula, who were in that previous picture with us, chose to follow after the Lord and believers' baptism to be buried in the likeness of his death, according to Romans chapter 6, to be raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to go and to walk in newness of life. You see, every time I baptize someone, that's the final words that I say before they come up out of the water. As they're walking away, I look them straight in the eyeballs and say, go walk in newness of life. You see, there was a problem of that group. There were five that were living together, not all in one house, but two couples and a single that were living together in fornication. I was in fear and trepidation when I sat down with each and every one of them about how do I even think about baptizing those who are not obedient to what God knows and what they know is truth. I need to tell them we need to wait. But the Holy Spirit was at work behind the scenes. And as we sat down in our meeting about baptism and to hear their testimonies one by one, they said, Pastor, there's a problem because we know we're not living for Jesus. We're making a commitment to walk in newness of life. Show me the next two pictures, if you would, please. Here's what took place on their own. They said, Pastor, would you marry us? Next picture is of Jorvis in Alaska. The night before they left for Colombia, they said, Pastor, we need to get married. Will you marry us this moment? You see, during this year, during everything that was shut down, during all of those difficulties, we had two weddings, we had nine baptisms, we've had two babies born because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Nothing has changed. My motivation is we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a resurrected Savior. And my third point this morning from Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, is you and I have all of the resources that we need between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in us. We lack absolutely nothing. We do not have an excuse. In chapter 5, Jesus says, you're going to wait until you get the Holy Spirit. I don't want you going out right now because you're not ready. But there's someone who's going to come and indwell you and give you everything that you need. And in verse 8, he says this, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses right where you are, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he said these things, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. You see, the passage begins with all that Jesus began to do and to teach, but here in verse 8, he says, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to go. I have a relationship with you. That's your motivation. I have resurrected from the grave to give you that hope for all of eternity and for everyone else for all of eternity that trusts in me. And you have all of the resources that you need. Go and complete your responsibility. That's my motivation to go. You see, you read through the rest of the book of Acts, and I did that as we were shut down in COVID because I think we lost a little bit of what it meant to be the church. Not just to go to church, but to be the church of Jesus Christ. Of those relationships that we have in the community, speaking of our resurrected Savior with all of the resources that we could ever need in order to accomplish that. And when I began looking at it from those eyes, you realize that just about every message through the book of Acts, when Peter or Paul stood up in front of people, they preached of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a great blessing that is. Doesn't matter what took place in the past, he rose from the grave and he rose for you. And one day he's coming back. I want to be found of him obedient. Amen? Let's go change our world. Because the world in which we live in has changed. We don't have to dig any farther than right here in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how the early believers changed the world. Let's follow their example. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for loving us enough to send your Son to die on a cross that we might have life. We love you. Thank you for the relationship that we can have with you by grace through faith. It's not of us, but it's because you loved us. We want to love you in preaching the resurrected Christ around the world with the resources we have. The Holy Spirit will guide us. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening and may God bless you.